Hello, plantpreneurs, and welcome to Series 2 of the Plant-Based Business Podcast brought to you by us here at Feevolution. In this show, we explore what it takes to create and scale a plant-based business. I'm Damien Clarkson, co-founder of Feevolution and your host today. So each week on this show, we speak to a range of entrepreneurs and investors who are passionate about creating positive plant-powered change in the world. And this week, I'm joined by our old friend, the one and only John Lewis, known across the world as the Badass Vegan. We first met John way back in 2017 when he took a punt on a new festival called Feevolution and flew out to the UK bringing his friends Dom Thompson and Tori Washington with him. I love catching up with John, and in this episode we explore John's background and deep-rooted passion for entrepreneurship, how he built his protein company Vegan Smart, the importance of mindset and regular exercise in avoiding burnout, his upcoming groundbreaking documentary They Are Trying to Kill Us, and how we can better support black-owned vegan businesses. And there's just so much more in this one. It was a real epic conversation. I think we were going for about 2 hours. So before we get into it, I just want to thank John for trusting in us and being part of the Feevolution journey and this epic conversation, and encourage you, the listeners, to share this podcast by tagging at plant-based business and at Feevolution _. It really helps us, really helps grow the vegan movement and yeah, get more people interested in plant-based business. So let's get into it. Bye. How's it going, John?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Really good. Very good. Really good. Where are you today? Where are we speaking from?
Right now, I am in North Carolina.
That sounds good, man. So a nice pace of life, nice quality of life.
Yeah, I'm kind of slowing down a little bit as I get older.
I have to say, you're the youngest looking 43-year-old I've ever met in my life. Need some of what you're on. So we're going to take it back a bit. So I want to know about John growing up. Like, tell us about your childhood, because everyone knows you today as a badass vegan, but you haven't always been that way. Like, yeah, where did you
always been badass? I always been badass. It just went badass vegan. So, yeah. According to my mom.
So like, yeah, where did you grow up, and like, what kind of kid were you?
Well, I was born in Little Rock, Arkansas, and then we moved to St. Louis, Missouri, we moved to the city of Ferguson when I was 2. And then living there, though, you know, we ate a lot of processed food. Like, my mom did the best she could with the knowledge that she had. But by the time I was a freshman in high school, I was about 315 pounds. And I wasn't 6'6 at the time. I was only like 5'8", 5'9", around that wow. height. And over time, I just had a huge growth spurt. So I did grow out of the chunky stage per se, but it wasn't a vegan thing. It was more active. I was way more active and I had a growth spurt. And so, but I did start paying attention more and more to food. After I graduated college, I got a degree in marketing, and I had made a promise to myself that if I didn't get the job I really wanted, I would go back to grad school. And I was 2 years, I was a manager at a cell phone store. And I was making the same amount as like the high school students. I was like, wait a minute, I got a college degree, but I'm not seeing the benefit here. So that's when I looked at Miami, Fort Lauderdale area, and I went down to grad school there. And it's funny, even before I moved to Miami, I kept a notebook by my bed. This is before I had an iPad. I couldn't afford an iPad at the time, but I had so many notes. Like, I still have that thing now. We talked about like burning the candle at both ends. Like, my mind, for some reason, after 10 p.m., shoots off. Like, I'll have 85,000 ideas after 10 p.m. I would jot down ideas, whether it be clothing, company. I always knew I wanted to be in business for myself. I just didn't know if it would ever happen, but I always wrote stuff down. Fast forward to going to Miami. The reason why I picked the school I picked was because it was the Business School of Entrepreneurship. So it was the 7th largest private university in the world, but it had this business school that just spoke to me, especially when it had an entrepreneurship. So my degree is actually a master's in business administration with an emphasis in entrepreneurship. And it's called the H. Wayne Huizenga School of Business, which H. Wayne Huizenga, I'm not sure if they know over London, but he's like a business mogul here. He used to be owner of the Miami Dolphins. He started Blockbuster Video. Yeah. So business wise, it's like, okay, if he talks, I'm listening. And he had a hand in the curriculum of that program. At the time, you know, it was just interesting to see all these business minds that I got to be around. And then I was vegetarian at the time. I wasn't vegan yet. And I remember the way that led me to veganism, I was actually finishing up the program I was in. I was in the last week of school. And I got a call from my brother that my mom was sick. And they had, and this was back in St. Louis, though. It wasn't like I could just show up to the doctor's office. And I had to, like, walk out of class to even take the call. And he was like, we don't know what's wrong. We're trying to figure it out. And I asked my mom, I'm like, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? And she's a very happy person. Like, I get my demeanor from her. And she was like, I feel like shit, son. And I was like, wait, what? Like, she's never said that ever. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. Like, now the worry is kind of setting in. And so I finally get back. You know, I talk to the doctors. I'm like, how did this happen? He's like, too much animal protein, fried fatty foods. And I'm like, wait, this is not hereditary? He's like, no, this is a lifestyle choice. And that stuck with me. I didn't go vegan immediately, but I was already vegetarian at that point, which I, in essence, I kind of hate I even went vegetarian for those 2 years. I wish I just went right in, because I feel like it was a waste of 2 years, to be honest. Like, I was holding on to cheese and all this other stuff when.
Yeah, but you know, like, so many people go that route, and, you know, I think it's like, it's, and I think a lot of, like, people become really passionate, committed vegans often say that. But, you know, that was the journey that you went on, and, you know, a different time as well. Like, how long, what kind of year are we talking about here?
It was about 2004 through 2006.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. At that time, all we had was Boca Burger. We're like, there was no, we didn't have a variety of plant-based options back then. You know, so I did it learning on my own. I didn't have anybody to tell me to eat this or that. It was just kind of like learning on the fly. I did have a friend that was vegetarian at the time. He was Seventh-day Adventist. And he was kind of telling me, like, oh, I eat this, I eat that. I'm like, oh, okay. So I kind of looked into it, and I had another good friend. She was vegetarian. And it's funny, they both laugh at me. Like, wow, you went from vegetarian and just took it to another level. Like, I was like, yeah, well, I appreciate your help in the journey. But, yeah, so I, at 2006, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. And I tried it out. And like I said, I didn't go immediately after talking to the doctor. I did more research, and I just saw all these different ailments and even the pandemics. I looked at that. Like, that's something that we involve in the film too. It's like, you know, a lot of people talk about the actual, like, you know, the cancers, the heart disease, the hypertension. They don't talk about the bird flu, the swine flu, you know, the MRSA, all these other things. They missed that boat. It's like, no, this is all connected here. And I saw that back in like 2006. And so I was just like, you know what, let me just try it 30 days. Let's see what happens. And it was like, within that 30 days, I just start feeling like great. Like, just, I mean, just flat out great. And I was like, no way. I'm like, yeah. And it just, I just stuck with it since then. And I don't know if, I think I talked about it before. I don't know if anybody remembers, like, the P90X workout videos.
Yeah.
That's how I got involved in the fitness industry, is because they, I did the program, and I had a friend of mine who knew the owner, and he was like, man, you got to send in your pictures. I'm like, no, I'm always hard on myself. Like, right now, I think I'm like, in my head, I still see myself as that 315 kid, like, all the time. And so he was like, no, send your pictures in. And he sent my pictures in without me knowing, because I told him, no, I'm not going to do it. And I ended up getting an email from one of the owners, like, hey, we would love to feature you in our commercials and our ads and this and that. And that's how I got started, because when people saw me in the ads and they found out I was vegan, they were like, wait, we didn't know you could be in shape and be vegan. And that's how I kind of carved my own lane right there. And I just took it from there.
It's really interesting, isn't it? It's kind of almost chance that led you to, you know, you had the passion for entrepreneurship, but at the right, and health, you know, but that wasn't necessarily where you were heading. That circumstance of your, you know, your mother getting sick and, you know, just doing this fitness program kind of like led you to that career.
Yeah. Yeah. I always tell people, like, I'm a big believer in learning from other people's mistakes, but learning from my mistakes, but I'm a bigger believer in learning from other people's mistakes. So, like, if somebody tries to do something and they don't do it right, like, if they try to run through a brick wall, I'm not going to try to show them how to run through the brick wall. I'm like, oh, you know, if you keep going around the building, there's a door over here. You know, so that's what I kind of did. I was like, you know what? I see that there's something here. to change my life. Like I said, I didn't go vegan to start a business. It's just I saw myself literally at a point where I was answering so many emails after I got done with my 9-to-5. I was like, wait a minute, this is a lot. So then I started looking into, like, you know, turning Badass Vegan into a company. And that came to me again. I used to train for marathons or half marathons. I won't even take credit for marathon runners. I only did halves.
If only does a half, over time it turns into a marathon.
Yeah. And I always would, like, run at like 10 because in Miami it was so hot. So I'd run like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. And I'm out doing my run. And it was like January 1st. I remember it was New Year's Day. I'm like, I'm starting off the year running. So every day I run. And on the run, I just had a epiphany, like, you need to start a company. Like, you need to do it now. And the first name that came in my head was Badass Vegan. I went home, went to GoDaddy's website. I was like, let me see if it's available. Looked online. It was available. I bought it right then. That's how Badass Vegan came about. I bought the name. I bought the website. That Monday, I incorporated it. And then I trademarked it. Trademarked it more recently, actually. I just saw people just kept taking it and using it. And I'm like, and it wasn't as much as like, oh no, I want that money from the sales. It was more like I kept getting hit up from people that didn't receive their product from somebody else with Badass Vegan. And they're like, I bought this from you. I'm like, no, that wasn't me. And they're like, So I got to go through the battle of trying to get that. And so now having a trademark has helped out a lot. And it's funny, I had one guy on one of my posts, he was like, you're such an a-hole for trademarking Badass Vegan. I was like, you didn't get mad at Coca-Cola or McDonald's or whoever for trademarking that. I was like, it's business. Like, if somebody would have beat me to it, what could I have said? Like, it's just the idea I had.
There's always that small element still within our community that is kind of angry at business. But, you know, I think it's about, you know, what we're all trying to do here on Plant-Based Business Community, Fevolution, Badass Vegan, is create a better business, a better way of doing things, a better way of living on the planet. So you're always going to get those, like, little haters. Just like,
yeah, that's all it is. It's like, I'm like, wait a minute. I was like, that's just business. I'm like, hey, look, when I started Badass Vegan in 2010 and everybody thought I was crazy, where were you then? Like, nobody, like, everybody thought I was crazy, from family to friends to online to everything. It's so interesting that happened.
And so the Badass Vegan, you start the company. What does Badass Vegan do then? What's like, what's your plan with this new business you start in 2010?
The funny thing was, Badass Vegan was meant to be a platform like a Facebook. I wanted it to be a safe haven for everybody to have their own page, you know, not worry about somebody dropping like bacon comments in, you know, their timeline or something like that. Like, and to kind of have like a guideline, like, hey, anybody can join. You don't have to be vegan, but the rules that apply had to be more of like a compassionate rule, like no hate, even because, you know, you see hate within the vegan community, which is so crazy. So it was like, I just wanted a safe haven. And then, you know, that's an expensive platform to build that I didn't kind of plan out. And then people just started looking at me as Badass Vegan. And then that's when it kind of turned into me. But really, and that's why I say, like, that's why I'm trying to get back to it, but I do like the monthly article, Badass Vegan of the Month. Like, I just wanted to be like, everybody's a badass vegan. If you're a vegan, you're a badass vegan. Okay. So it started off as that, but then it just kind of transcended into more of what you see now, which is me, I guess.
So it really evolved organically, really around your passion. And you just kind of like, I guess you started going to do some talks, and obviously as a fitness expert, started doing some fitness stuff, and, you know, realized building the platform was going to cost a fortune. So like,
let's put that off. Like, hey, it may still come about because there's really no vegan platform like that. I'm thinking about still doing it. I've always thought about doing it, like maybe after the film, you know, like when the name has more buzz. And I work with somebody in the technology field that wants to do it. But yeah, I think it still needs to be done. Like, you can still have your Facebook, you can still have your Instagram, your Twitter, but it's always nice to have like a safe haven where it's just more like like-minded.
This is what the new Fevolution platform is like, really shaping up to be a safe haven for, like, you know, startups, investors, communities all to come together and share information. So as soon as it's ready, you're going to be the first person, a show. You know, you've got some community building experience behind you, but then you kind of get involved in a company called Vegan Smart, which you co-founded, right? With was it Kareem and Claude?
Yeah, Kareem Cook and Claude Tellis.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so Vegan Smart is a nutrition company. So tell us about right. that.
Yeah, so basically how we even met were we were fraternity brothers. So we kind of knew each other beforehand. And the way it came about was Kareem had contacted me. He's like, hey, look, so they own a parent company called Naturade.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, look, we have a company that we want to come out with. We want to do a vegan protein shake, but we can't lie. We need some help to develop it. I was like, oh, definitely, you know, I'll help, you know, like whatever you need. And so we go through the development process. We go through the like stages of, you know, making sure it has this in there, these vitamins, these minerals, make sure it had texture and taste more than anything, because we all know just because something vegan does not mean it tastes good.
Yeah. Especially when it comes so to protein powder.
Oh man. And that was another reason why I was so happy to be involved, because I love everybody's company. I never talk trash about anybody's company, but I just couldn't on some of the stuff. I would get stuff sent to me and I'm like, oh, thank you so much. And then, you know, I'm like putting it in the trash later on, or I'm just giving it to somebody else. And so after it is all developed and everything, Kareem gives me a call. He's like, hey, bro, we appreciate all your help with what we did. He's like, we'd love to involve you in the company. And I was like, oh, man. And my way of saying that I'm broke and I don't have any money was, oh, man, I would love to do it. But, you know, I'm currently like stretched out thin with all the projects I'm working on. He's like, no, we would take care of it. Everything. You would just be a partner and you'd be a partner in the company. So I automatically was like, oh, well, if that's the case, I'm in. Like I don't have to pay anything. I'm in. And so we started it right then, and it just grew and grew and grew. And like one of the things too, that when I talked to Kareem, that helped out too, because there were some products within Naturade that weren't 100% vegan. And I was like, you know, I like to keep my standard. He's like, no, man. He's like, I want to work with you too, because I want to phase out all these things. And that was a big thing for me too. Is like, and people sometimes they think it's just an overnight thing. And it's like, no, you can't just, you know, you can't just drop millions of dollars and just switch it over. So it's a process. Yeah. And over time, they've been dropping animal-based products and moving it into plant-based. So that's another reason why I'm happy to be involved with them. Help with that movement of bringing quality, affordable. That's one of our biggest things, is that like if you look at my price on my Vegan Smart in America, it's right around $30, if that. Even for the organic, it might be $33. You know, when you got other companies charging $70 just to get an organic, same size, same amount of servings, we're like, we don't have to do that. Like, I don't want to take advantage of people. Like, I'd rather help people. Like, the money will come the more people see we're helping them. I like, coming from where I come from, I know how hard it is to get a meal, you know, like, so we look at it, our meals, because it's a meal replacement, you're looking at like $3 per meal, if that's the case, which is very affordable, especially if you can get an organic meal with all the vitamins and nutrients you need for the day in there, even though it's in a shake form, you know, it's just hard to beat.
Yeah, and I guess like I really like what you're saying about making it affordable, because, you know, health movement needs to be for everyone, right? It can't just be for the privileged people.
Exactly. And you see that a lot, you know, how many people, and I get them on my comments a lot of times on Instagram, Facebook, whatever, but they're like, well, veganism costs so much. I'm like, no, veganism doesn't cost a lot. Vegan products cost a lot. If you take it back home, which the book I'm writing right now, that's one of my biggest things, is I'm working on recipes that are, you don't have to buy a lot of products, you know, shopping season, you know, have your shopping list ready when you get to the store, you know, and don't be afraid to step outside of your shopping list. And if something's on sale, that's pretty much right along the same lines of what you wanted, get what's on sale. Like, don't go for the $8 coconut waters when they have another brand that's organic as well on sale for $4. Like, no, don't just stick to that. Like, sometimes we have to step outside of that box. And that's one of the biggest things I'm promoting with the book, is that, yes, protein is essential, but we don't have to have as much protein as the industry is trying to tell us. And that's coming from somebody that owns a protein shake company. Like, we just don't have to have, you know, this 1,000 grams of protein that people are trying to put out. Like, people don't realize that protein does not build muscle. Protein repairs muscle. So the workout that you do is what's building the muscle. You know, you can't do the Richard Simmons workout and expect the body of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And nothing against Richard Simmons, but it's just a different kind of result that you're going to get. And that's the premise of the book, is like bringing real food to the table, easy to make, full of flavor. And I want people to enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to have ingredients, you know, like you got to have Himalayan salt blessed by a monk, you know, and it, with a unicorn teardrop on top of it to make sure it's sealed. And it costs like $85 for one jar of, like, you know, salt. And you see that a lot. People like, you know, hey, I got this great vegan recipe. Here's 85 ingredients in the recipe. Like, I kind of want to keep that minimalist baker kind of feel, like 10 ingredients or less. Let's keep it going. Because, you know, people now are looking to get healthy, but I don't want to be rocket science to get healthy, because it's actually not. It's really not rocket science to be healthy. You know, cut out the oils. Like, I don't think you need oil in everything you eat. Like, people feel like they can't even cook without oil now. It's like, no, you don't have to have oil in everything. It's just a binder sometimes, like, which you can use something else for that, you know?
It's about getting out of your comfort zone. That's what you're talking about.
Exactly, exactly. And healing can hurt sometimes, and people don't realize that. Healing can hurt before it feels good.
And you've been busy. You've been a busy guy, like, and working on your new film with Keegan Coon. He works on, you know, What the Health and Cowspiracies behind the camera for those ones. It's called They're Trying to Kill Us. So tell us all about the documentary. It's been 4 years in the making so far.
4 years, man. My daughter is 4 now. That's just so crazy. Like, my daughter's been through this whole process. We started the conversation about 4 years ago. We were at an event with my protein shake company. He was there with his Cowspiracy table. And he came over. He's like, hey, bro. And we've known each other for years at this point. Yeah. He's like, man, if you don't mind, you know, let me give you a visual too. The event we were at was completely dead. There was nobody there. It was so funny. It was in San Francisco, and I mean, nobody was there. And he goes to my table. He's like, hey, you think you could, like, come to my table? And I wanted to talk to you about something. I look around. I'm like, yeah, there's nobody here. I can leave. like I can leave whenever I want to. Let's go. So we start having a conversation. He's like, man, I'd love to work with you on the film. He's like, I don't know what, but I just want to reach more people. And I was like, man, you know, people of color, they really need our help, you know, to get that message across. He's like, yeah, but how do we do it? And the first thing that popped in my head was hip hop. I was like, hip hop reaches everything. I was like, I don't care where you're at in the world, what part of the world, what country, what city, what town. And I said, you know, if you really want to envision how strong hip hop is, I was like, you can close your eyes right now and you can envision a bunch of 6-foot muscular white guys on ice skates and Jay-Z playing in the background. I was like, you just saw the National Hockey League. You know, that's how powerful it is now. Like, the biggest, you know, I guess, screenplay right now is, you know, hip hop infused. You know, even though it's got a little flack right now, what's going on with everything. But, you know, at the time, it was hip hop infused. And he was like, wow. So I was like, you know, if we could talk about the injustice, you know, with food and social justice, and then tie in hip hop, because there's so many hip hop artists. Like, everybody you see in the actual trailer, they're vegan. Everybody in that trailer is vegan. So a lot of people are like, oh, is everybody vegan in this? I'm like, yeah. They're like, wait, really? I'm like, yeah, everybody in there is vegan. Like, I think we might have interviewed like 3 or 4 like professionals in their field. Like, you know, you can't just go without, you know, that. But for the most part, yeah, everybody's vegan, and we talk about the lifestyle, but we talk to economists, to doctors, to government officials, lawyers, and the biggest thing I wanted in this film was for it to be at a point where you might not like it, but you can't argue it. Like, we all know systemic racism is in place, we all know that, you know, there's an inequality of lifestyle for people. But what we don't know a lot of times is that that goes all the way down to the food as well. Like, there's scientific research done by government that knows that certain foods are dangerous for a certain race, but yet and still they allow it on the market. And at that point, it's like, well, they're trying to kill us. Like, they don't care. If you know something's bad for me, but you won't do anything about it, you either don't care or you really want it to happen yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily that they're trying to kill us. It's just more money in sick people than it is healthy people. And in the U.S. alone, the pharmaceutical industry is a $1.3 trillion industry. If 25% of the population got healthy, they go bankrupt. They don't want healthy people.
Yeah,
I mean, probably if 10% of the population got healthy, they would go bankrupt. They don't want to see that.
And, you know, you're talking about food deserts here. You know, like when you're going out filming this, you know, like, what does a typical neighborhood you're filming in look like?
I mean, it's almost heartbreaking. You know, we went to Ferguson, where I'm from. We went to D.C. We went to Maryland. There's the visual just to see, like, oh, you know, if you go 18 blocks this way, there's a Whole Foods, and it's got all this fresh produce, and it's got this. And you go this direction towards the hood, per se, and now you see where it's not necessarily food deserts anymore. It's nutrition deserts. So it's food there, but there's no nutrition in the food. It's like you're basically eating these wasted calories that have nothing good for the body. A real eye-opening situation was that we got to go to the Navajo Nation in Arizona, which they barely ever allow cameras on there. And so it was a tingling experience too, just to be on this land. Like, you could feel the energy. But they have a population the size of West Virginia, which is, I mean, I know London, but I get it. But if anybody Googles the size of West Virginia, that's how big the nation is there. And so you're talking hundreds of thousands of people with less than 10 grocery stores. So imagine, you know, you got a population, and these are Native Americans, is their effing land when you get done, who have a diabetes rate of 30%, and it'll be 35% by 2022, I believe. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you have where they almost have like a 40% rate of the people don't have running water. And it's not by choice. It's just, that's how it's set up, you know? So it's very interesting to see.
It's heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking stuff. And I'm so glad you and Keegan are out there making this film. And, you know, the trailer's online now for people to watch. And I really urge you to go and check it out, because, you know, like, it's so important that this gets seen by as many people as possible. Why do you think there's so many, like, vegan hip-hop artists out there? Name some of the guys who you've interviewed. It's unbelievable.
Neo, Stick from Dead Prez, Maya, Gray, who did the official Thanksgiving rap. Vegan Thanksgiving rap, Mathematics from the Wu-Tang Clan, John Sally, who's my mentor. Like, so athletes are involved too, which is almost an extension of hip hop. If you look at the way the sports industry is, if we got over 125 interviews, so that's what's crazy. Like,
wow.
So if I forget anybody, it's not because I'm being mean. I just literally 125 people at the top of my head is just like, crazy to come up with. Soleil, Ciroc, Professor Griff,
Damon Dash was one I saw, but I was like, wow.
Yeah, Damon Dash. Sorry, Dame will let me have it if he
yeah, it's nice, man. So check out the crowdfunder and get involved. So look, I'm super excited about the film, but one thing I really wanted to talk to you about was Black business owners and, you know, supporting Black vegan business, because at Fevolution we want to do more. You know, it's something we're passionate about, and it's something we don't see enough of. You know, I think sort of, you know, when we're putting together this podcast, we're looking for guests, and, you know, it's it's not as easy as we want it to be. You know, we want to find people who are scaling businesses, who have great stories to tell, but they're just there's not the right visibility. You know, we've got to get better looking in the spaces, but there needs to be more support, I think, for the Black vegan business community. Like, what can we all be doing, like Vevolution, but everyone else listening to this podcast, to support Black vegan entrepreneurs?
I think it's, you know, a lot of times people want to wait for the government level, you know, the policies to change. And I think that's amazing. Those things have to change, but we have to start at the ground level. We have to basically meet in the middle. Like, while the government's doing their thing, we have to be doing our thing as well. We can't just wait for it to come all the way down to meet us. So that means, like, speaking up when we see something that's not right in business. You know, when you see even a white business owner say the wrong thing, speak up. You don't even have to be mean to them, but speak up about that. When you see a store that's full of companies and there's no Black businesses in that store, speak up. It's okay. And I don't think you don't have to be hateful. I think a lot of people think that it's got to be that it's this angry dialogue. It's like, no, that's not right. When you see something's not right, you just speak up. And also, people that are in that space, I think it's okay for you to help out Black businesses. You won't lose your position. You know, let's be honest. If you actually do help out Black businesses, it's going to make you look better. Like, let's be honest. If PR-wise, you probably are actually making your business last longer than if you're going to be the silent one on the sidelines, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big thing. I think sometimes people think it's all about money. It's like, no, sometimes it's just putting that company in the eyes of somebody else, like feature that company on your page or something. Like, I own a protein shake company. If you check my page, you'll probably see four or five other protein shakes from friends of mine that own protein shakes. Like, yeah, I don't think you're taking sales from me. I think everybody has a different taste anyway. Like, I think one of the biggest mistakes that business owners make is they think if they make a product in a certain streamline, that they're the only ones that people want. It's like, no, they might see yours and hate it. Why not give them the option? Like, hey, you know what? I make vegan cheese, but I also need these other companies that make vegan cheese. Try them all and see which one you like the best. I would love to be the one you love the best, but try them all. And I think that's where the division kind of subsides, is because if somebody's actually out there promoting it, like I do a thing, and this is on a Black business owner side, but I do a thing, I do T-shirt Tuesday. So all the T-shirts, all the vegan companies that send me T-shirts, I'm starting to wear those every Tuesday. Now, mind you, you know, I got my own apparel line, but yeah. I still show them love. Like, and that's what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be an everyday thing. It doesn't have to be an every week thing, but start showing love to other businesses of color. You know what I'm saying? Like, and show that you support them. It doesn't always have to be financial. And, you know, sometimes people are like, they're so protective of their connections. Like, sometimes you don't even have to give the connections. You just put, if you have a light, shine that light on them and allow them to do what they need to do after you shine light on them. I think a lot of people think that because they're not racist today, that there's not a system in place. It's like, no, you have to go back to the beginning and look at the actual system. One thing I always say is that if we were to take a slave owner and a slave, and I'm not saying everybody was a slave owner and everybody was a slave or everybody's ancestors or slave owners, but let's just say that even if you weren't a slave owner, you started off on a white platform. Now, that white platform, you might have started off at zero. As a slave owner or as a white person, you started off at zero. As a slave, you started off at negative 50. You know what I'm saying? Negative 50. So while you were trying to get to zero, zero was already doing its thing. You know what I'm saying? And even if you were white and you had a job and you weren't this rich person, you had a job, you were able to have land, you were able to have food, you were able to have anything. So even when the slaves were set free, they were set off down here at negative 50. And now they don't have land, they don't have food, they don't have a job. So without you even knowing it, now let's skip two generations, or let's skip one generation. That person that was at zero, they're at least at two or three now. the person that was at negative 50 is still probably at negative 53 now because they dropped more trying to figure out how the fuck are they going to even eat or live. And sorry about the language, but just trying to get it across. And then now let's fast forward it 100-something years. And look at how that gap can just build. And we're just now getting to a point where we can see, oh, man, there is a gap. And it's not my fault, but it's my responsibility to do something about it. And that goes on both ends. I say that all the time. It's like, it's not about whose fault it is. It's about whose responsibility it is. A lot of times we want people to feel responsible who don't even think they did anything wrong in the first place. It's like, all right, let them handle that over there. We still have to take care of ourselves and take care of what we know is right. That's our responsibility. And I think once we start taking responsibility, like, oh, I don't have to feel guilty for my ancestors. Nobody, I think that's where it gets confusion. Like, you don't have to feel guilty, but you also have to say, all right, if I want this world to be a better place, I have to be a part of that process. I can't say, hey, I want the world to be a better place. Oh, somebody takes care of it. And that's what we see a lot of, you know, like, oh man, that's a horrible situation over there. I'll go this way. I'll go the other way. No, you got to go that way and help. And regardless of who it is, regardless of the race, regardless of the sex, regardless of the gender, regardless of whatever it is, if you see something wrong, the only way this world is going to get better is if those that see the wrong speak up about the wrong.
I really agree so strongly. And I think it's so easy to stay quiet on these things and, you know, and feel like this isn't my place. I'm speaking from a place of like allyship. You know, there's no way I can ever understand, you know, what being a black man is like or black woman is like. I just can't. I will never understand that. But I can understand how I can try and speak up and play a role. And I think that's what, you know, as allies, we have to do. And as business owners and people with profiles, you know, we've got to try and shine a light in a positive way the best we can. Be part of that change, right?
Exactly. And who, let's be honest, who wants to be a part of history on the other side where they were like, oh, I didn't do shit? Like, when your kids talk to you and your grandkids talk to you and they're like, oh, well, granddaddy, what did you do? Well, actually, I just was silent. I just went over in the corner, or I actually was against the movement. You know, like, who wants to really deal with that?
It's not a good look.
Yeah, it's not a good look. It's not a good look.
And do you get a lot of black business owners reaching out to you, telling you about their business?
Yeah, yeah, which is so powerful, man. And I'm working on something now where it's gonna be more of like a black pages, like instead of the yellow pages. Where, you know, like I'm thinking of like a black pages where it's because there's some great black, I would say like black unity pages for business. Like one's called Shop Black. I believe We Buy Black is another one, but there's not one dedicated to vegan companies. So what I want to do is have something to like black eco-friendly vegan companies that are out there making a difference. Cause it's while there's so many black businesses, you can kind of get lost in the shuffle in a world that's still trying to accept veganism too. So you got a black community that's like, oh, black businesses. And you're like, hey, I'm a black vegan business. And they're like, ooh, okay. I don't know if I want to go vegan. And so I think there's another space to provide, you know, guidance and visibility for black vegan companies. I mean, just imagine all the black vegan restaurants that are out there right now.
Yeah.
Amazing food, you know,
struggling like, as even well, in London. COVID.
Yeah, even in London. Yeah, and struggling. That need that attention, that need that light. You know, need somebody to show, hey, we still do delivery here, you know, or we got this going on, or just having that page and then, you know, like trying to highlight different businesses throughout the time.
Yeah, I really love that idea. And, you know, if I can help you with that and Fevolution can help, please like tell us as you progress that idea, because I think we'd love to be a part of that and shine light as much as possible. And, you know, if you find people who contact you and you think we could help as well, like send them our way, because you know I want us to be that positive voice as much as we can help people. I want us to do that. So I love that initiative. I think you should be definitely bring black pages. I love it.
Right. Yeah. And it was like almost like I had the idea for the app too. Like, you know, you travel to a city, you know, and I don't want it to sound like, you know, the bad in a bad way, but you want to know, like, hey, where's the black businesses at? Where's the black vegan businesses? Where are they? You know what I'm saying? Like, black owned, you know, and also have categories like woman owned, black owned, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, show all the vegan businesses, don't get it wrong, but also show, like, oh, if you want to look into these categories, what are these? You know, like, and just shining light on all of it.
You need to get your notepad out again and start writing down all those ideas.
Time and money, man. It's just like, it's just to get it together.
All right. That's all good, man. It's so good to catch up with you. And before we go, let's do a quick fire question round. We ask all our guests, sure, all our guests this. So, like, just sort of briefly try and answer. So the first one is, why do you get up in the morning?
It's, when do I go to sleep? See you in the morning. But I see, and I know this sounds funny, I literally see myself as like in a superhero role in a movie. And it's like everything I do is like preparing me to save the world. And I know it sounds dramatic and all that, but it's like, I have to get up, I have to go work out, I have to eat this, I have to work on this, I have to do this, and I have to study this. And I just believe it's like for the bigger picture of saving the world.
Yeah, man, like the ambassador for the planet. I love that. And what problems are you trying to solve, you know, of all your different businesses?
The biggest problem I want to solve is the lack of self-love. I believe if more people love themselves, it would solve probably 100% of the world's problems. But it's so much lack of self-love. It's hard to go hate somebody if you love yourself. It really is. It's hard for somebody to want to start a war if they love themselves. I'm not saying in a conceited way. I'm talking about truly love themselves and have empathy for themselves. It's kind of hard to go out there and curse somebody out and be pissed at the world. So I just want to, I want to eliminate that self-hate that's out there.
Yeah, I think that's a really positive message. Really nice. So what has been one resource or factor that has had a big impact on your businesses so far?
I would say a big resource for me has been, it has to be my tribe. I don't like to call people followers, but I would have it had to be the tribe of people that I'm around, because I've just seen people pour out so much love that it's like, it's so inspirational.
This one, you know, what are the top three books or podcasts that have helped you on your entrepreneurial journey?
Ooh, man. Number one book is A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah.
That just changed it. I would have to say The Secret. If anybody's seen the book, seen the documentary or read the book. And I'd have to say Vevolution. I've definitely listened to that plenty of times, and that's good to, I've seen, and I mean, now that I think about it, we've probably known each other like,
over three years.
I think.
So like,
And I've seen the growth of like this idea spark from what you and Judy had, just to like go. I remember coming that one year and it was like, wow, like this is.
We always talk about that as a game changer moment when you guys came over. You like came, like basically were like, yeah, I believe what you're doing. I'm gonna come over. We couldn't pay you anything. I think we could just about pay a flight and some hotel. Like, you know, there wasn't any monetary gaining for you to do that.
The funny part was I convinced Dom's and Tori
exactly
to just come over. Like, I was like, look, we'll speak. And I was like, look, they could really use us. They'll speak. We'll just get over there. And then we just had a blast. It was amazing time too. Like, you all were so hospitable, and it was like, it was good to be there.
It's a good moment. And, you know, actually from that, you probably don't even know this, like, Nick, you know, at Eat Drink Vegan was like watching what we're doing. And, you know, then we started working with, you know, Jeanette and Eat Drink Vegan on the last two festivals, like, and having like those guys involved. And that all really came about because you guys came, and with your social media, you guys brought the US audience to what, and so that point had been like a UK thing mostly. And it made Vevolution more of a global movement of people. And then every year since, you know, like, we've had people from around the world wanting to travel and be a part of it. And I think you probably didn't even know that. Like, you guys sparked the international, like, interest in what we were doing. Thanks for that. This is amazing.
And that's what shining a light is like. You know, like if we got the power to do it, and I also say this too, when you're shining a light on something, like make sure it's something you actually believe in. You like, I think sometimes people are like, well, I'm vegan, you're vegan, you have to work with me. It's like, no. You have to see if things align as well. You know, like if it aligns, then it just makes sense.
Yeah, that's good times. And what do you know now that you wish you knew when you started out in business?
To keep the emotion out. Like that, I think like I talked about, like, I know now there is no emotions in business. I don't care. Even if your stance in business is something heartfelt, the business aspect of it is no emotion.
And I always love this question. What's the biggest challenge you've had to overcome so far in your business journey?
The biggest challenge I would say for me is, which now I'm very good at it, I would say, was patience. Like being patient, like not wanting to rush and just, oh, I got this idea, it's got to come out today.
And lastly, what do you do to keep yourself sane?
Music. I would have to say I'm big on entertainment. I know a lot of people, they frown on it sometimes, but between movies and entertainment, like I'm one of the weird people. I can be working on my movie and still have a movie on in the background. Yeah. Like I don't have to have complete silence. When I'm working out, if there's no music involved, it's going to be the worst workout of my life. It's so inspirational, but I would say, it has to be some kind of music or movies involved.
Is there anyone you're particularly loving at the moment? Any artists?
I'm a big Kendrick Lamar fan. Big Kendrick Lamar fan.
So where can people connect with you? Where can they connect with John, get involved with Badass Vegan? Where can they do all that stuff?
Well, the next Vivolution, when we actually have one.
Yeah.
Like a year. Where we can actually have people out again. I don't know, that's 2022, I don't know what it is.
Maybe, but who knows.
But I'm also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. I barely check it, but I'm on there. I'm even on Pinterest, so you can catch me on there. But
Are you on TikTok?
I'm on TikTok. The funny thing is, the only thing on there is my trailer. I don't even have anything posted, really. It's a trailer to the film. They can also email me, john@badassvegan.com.
Great.
That's something as well. And like I said, I'm sure when traveling starts back up, I'll be promoting the film a lot and hitting everywhere else. Can't wait to come back to London.
Yeah. Anytime you guys want to show the film, collaborate with us on that. We're always here.
Definitely,
for Rachel and Keegan. We're here to see that.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
We'll leave it there. Bye. Hi, plantpreneurs. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Plant-Based Business Podcast. It was produced by Fevolution, and this series is hosted by myself, Damien Clarkson, and my co-host, Judy Nadell. Before we go today, I have a quick favor to ask. At Fevolution, we believe in the power of business to positively impact the planet. This is why we created the podcast, to help accelerate the good work you're all doing in making the world a better place. But we need your support to keep this community going. We've created a new plant-based business community over on Patreon. For just a few pounds a month, you can support the show and growing and helping us to shine a light on the plant-based businesses changing the world. So please head on over to www.patreon.com/plantbasedbusiness and show your support for this podcast and the free content we create. Also, please remember to share this episode in your favorite social network. I can't tell you how much things like reviews and social shares help us and our mission to tell the world about the growth of the plant-powered business movement. You can find us on Instagram @plantbasedbusiness_ and @fevolution_. Okay, keep safe, and we'll see you all again soon.